Bloom, broken, closely veiled for the sacrifice, sobs, his face to the earth. The passing bell is heard. Dark-shawled figures of the circumcised, in sackcloth and ashes, stand by the wailing wall. M. Shalomovitz, Joseph Goldwater, Moses Herzog, Harris Rosenberg, M. Moisel, J. Citron, Minnie Watchman, O. Mastiansky, the Reverend Leopold Abramovitz, Chazen. With swaying arms they wail in Numa over the recreant Bloom. The circumcised, in a dark, guttural chant, as they cast Dead Sea fruit upon him. No flowers.
Shema Israel Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Echad.
Voices sighing.
So he's gone.
Yes, indeed.
Bloom, never heard of him.
No.
Queer kind of chap.
There's the widow.
That's so?
Yes.
From the sati pyre, the flame of gum campfire ascends. The pall of incense smoke screens and disperses. Out of her oak frame, a nymph, with hair unbound, lightly clad in tea-brown art colors, descends from her grotto, and passing under interlacing yews, stands over Bloom. The yews, their leaves whispering. The nymph, softly.
Mortal.
Kindly.
Nay, dost not weepest.
Bloom crawls jellily forward under the boughs, streaked by sunlight, with dignity.
This position, I felt it was expected of me. Force of habit.
Mortal, you found me in evil company. High kickers, coster picnic makers, pugilists, popular generals. Immoral panto boys in flesh tights, and the nifty shimmy dancers, La Aurora and Carini, musical act, the hit of the century. I was hidden in cheap pink paper that smelt of rock oil. I was surrounded by the stale smut of club men, stories to disturb callow youth, ads for transparencies, trued-up dice and bust pads, proprietary articles and why wear a truss with testimonial from ruptured gentlemen, useful hints to the married.
Bloom lifts the turtle head towards her lap.
We have met before, on another star.
The nymph, sadly.
Rubber goods, never rip. Brand are supplied to the aristocracy. Corsets for men. I cure fits or money refunded. Unsolicited testimonials for Professor Waldman's wonderful chest exuber. My bust developed 4 inches in 3 weeks, reports Mrs. Gus Rublin with photo.
You mean photo bits?
I do. You bore me away, framed me in oak and tinsel, set me above your marriage couch. Unseen, one summer eve, you kissed me in 4 places, and with loving pencil you shaded my eyes, my bosom, and my shame.
Bloom humbly kisses her long hair.
Your classic curves, beautiful, immortal. I was glad to look on you, to praise you, a thing of beauty, almost to pray.
During dark nights I heard your praise.
Bloom, quickly.
Yes, yes. You mean that I... Sleep reveals the worst side of everyone, children perhaps excepted. I know I fell out of my bed, or rather was pushed. Steel wine is said to cure snoring. For the rest, there is that English invention, pamphlet of which I received some days ago, incorrectly addressed. It claims to afford a noiseless, inoffensive vent.
He sighs.
'Twas ever thus. Frailty, thy name is marriage.
The nymph, her fingers in her ears.
And words, they are not in my dictionary.
You understood them.
The yews. The nymph covers her face with her hand.
What have I not seen in that chamber? What must my eyes look down on?
Bloom, apologetically.
I know. Soiled personal linen, wrong side up with care. The quoits are loose. From Gibraltar by long sea, long ago.
The nymph bends her head.
Worse. Worse.
Bloom reflects precautiously.
That antiquated commode, it wasn't her weight. She scaled just 11 stone 9. She put on 9 pounds after weaning. It was a crack and want of glue. Eh? And that absurd orange-keyed utensil which has only one handle.
The sound of a waterfall is heard in bright cascade. The waterfall. The yews mingling their boughs. John Wise Nolan, in the background, in Irish National Forester's uniform, doffs his plumed hat.
Prosper! Give shade on languorous days, trees of Ireland.
The yews murmuring. Bloom, pigeon-breasted, bottle-shouldered, padded, in nondescript, juvenile, grey and black striped suit, too small for him, white tennis shoes, bordered stockings with turnover tops, and a red school cap with badge.
I was in my teens, a growing boy. A little then sufficed, a jolting car, the mingling odours of the ladies' cloakroom and lavatory, the throng penned tight on the old royal stairs, for they love crushes, instincts of the herd. And the dark, sex-smelling theatre on bridal's vice. Even a price list of their hosiery. And then the heat. There were sunspots that summer. End of school and tipsy cake. Halcyon days.
Halcyon days. High school boys in blue and white football jerseys and shorts. Master Donald Turnbull, Master Abraham Chatterton, Master Owen Goldberg, Master Jack Meredith, Master Percy Apjohn. Stand in a clearing of the trees and shout to Master Leopold Bloom. The halcyon days.
Mackerel! Live us again! Hooray!
They cheer. Bloom, hobbledehoy, warm-gloved, mama muffled, stunned with spent snowballs, struggles to rise.
Again? I feel 16. What a lark. Let's ring all the bells in Montague Street.
He cheers feebly.
Hooray for the high school!
The echo. The yews rustling. Whispered kisses are heard in all the wood. Faces of hamadryads peep out from the boles and among the leaves and break, blossoming, into bloom. The nymph, coyly, through parting fingers.
There, in the open air.
The yews, sweeping downward.
Sister, yes, and on our
virgin's. The nymph, with wide fingers.
Oh, infamy!
I was precocious, youth, the fawns, I sacrificed to the god of the forest, the flowers that bloom in the spring. It was pairing time. Capillary attraction is a natural phenomenon. Lottie Clark, flaxen-haired, I saw at her night toilette, through ill-closed curtains with poor Papa's opera glasses. The wanton ate grass wildly. She rolled downhill at Rialto Bridge to tempt me with her flow of animal spirits. She climbed their crooked tree, and I... Saint couldn't resist it. The demon possessed me. Besides, who saw?
Staggering Bob, a white-poled calf, thrusts a ruminating head with humid nostrils through the foliage. Staggering Bob.
Me... Me see.
Simply satisfying a need.
With pathos.
No girl would when I went girling. Too ugly, they wouldn't play.
High on Ben Hoth, through rhododendrons, a nanny goat passes, plump-uddered, butty-tailed, dropping currants. The nanny goat bleats.
Me gag gag. Na-na-nanny.
Bloom. Hatless, flushed, covered with burrs of thistledown and gorse pine.
Regularly engaged. Circumstances alter cases.
He gazes intently downwards on the water.
32 head over heels per second. Press nightmare. Giddy Elijah. Fall from cliff. Sad end of government printer's clerk.
Through silver silence, summer air, the dummy of Bloom, rolled in a mummy, rolls rotatingly from the lion's head cliff into the purple waiting waters. The dummy mummy. Far out in the bay, between Bailey and Kish lights, the Erin's King sails, sending a broadening plume of coal smoke from her funnel towards the land. Councillor Nannetti, alone on deck, in dark alpaca, yellow, kite-faced, his hand in his waistcoat opening, declaims,
"When my country takes her place among the nations of the earth, then, and not till then, let my epitaph be written. I have
done." Pruff.
The nymph, loftily.
"We immortals, as you saw today, have not such a place, and no hair there either. We are stone cold and pure. We eat electric light."
She arches her body in lascivious crispation, placing her forefinger in her mouth.
"Spoke to me, heard from behind. How then could you?"
Bloom, pacing the heather abjectly.
"Oh, I have been a perfect pig. Enemas, too, I have administered. 1/3 of a pint of quassia, to which add a tablespoonful of rock salt. Up the fundament with Hamilton Long's syringe, the lady's friend."
"In my presence, the powder puff."
She blushes and makes a knee.
"And the rest?"
Bloom, dejected.
"Yes, Peccavi. I have paid homage on that living altar where the back changes name."
With sudden fervor.
"For why should the dainty, scented, jeweled hand, the hand that rules..."
Figures wind, serpenting in slow woodland pattern around the tree stems, cooing. The voice of Kitty in the thicket.
"Show us one of them cushions."
The voice of Flurry.
"Here."
A grouse wings clumsily through the underwood. The voice of Lynch in the thicket.
"Phew, piping hot."
The voice of Zoe from the thicket.
"Came from a hot place."
The voice of Virag, a bird chief, blue-streaked and feathered in war panoply with his assegai, striding through a crackling canebrake over beechmast and acorns.
"Hot, hot, where sitting bull?"
"It overpowers me, the warm impress of her warm form. Even to sit where a woman has sat, especially with divaricated thighs, as though to grant the last favors, most especially with previously well-uplifted white sateen coat-bands. So womanly full, it fills me full."
The waterfall. The ewes. The nymph, eyeless, in nun's white habit, coif and huge winged wimple, softly with remote eyes.
"Tranquilla convent, Sister Agatha. Mount Carmel, the apparitions of Knock and Lourdes, no more desire."
She reclines her head, sighing.
"Only the ethereal, where dreamy, creamy gull waves o'er the waters dull."
Bloom half rises. His back trousers button snaps. The button. Two sluts of the coombe dance rainily by, shawled, yelling flatly. The sluts.
"Leopold asked the pin of his doors. He didn't know what to do. To keep it up, to keep it up."
Bloom, coldly.
"You have broken the spell. The last straw. If there were only ethereal, where would you all be? Postulants and novices? Shy but willing, like an ass pissing."
The ewes, their silver foil of leaves precipitating, their skinny arms aging and swaying.
"Sacrilege, to attempt my virtue."
A large, moist stain appears on her robe.
"Sully my innocence. You are not fit to touch the garment of a pure woman."
She clutches in her robe.
"Wait, Satan. You'll sing no more love songs. Amen, 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 amen."
She draws a poniard and clad in the sheath mail of an elected knight of nine, strikes at his loins.
Neckum!
Bloom starts up, seizes her hand.
Hoi, nebracada, cat of nine lives, fair play, madam. No pruning knife. The fox and the grapes, is it? What do we lack with your barbed wire? Crucifix not thick enough?
He clutches her veil.
A holy abbot you want, or Brophy the lame gardener, or the spoutless statue of the water carrier, or good Mother Alphonsus, hey, Reynard?
The nymph, with a cry, flees from him, unveiled, her plaster cast cracking, a cloud of stench escaping from the cracks. Bloom calls after her.
As if you didn't get it on the double yourselves? No jerks and multiple mucosities all over you? I tried it. Your strength, our weakness. What's our stud fee? What will you pay on the nail? You fee men dancers on the Riviera, I read.
The fleeing nymph raises a keen.
I have 16 years of black slave labor behind me, and would a jury give me 5 shillings alimony tomorrow, eh? Fool someone else, not me.
He sniffs.
But onions. Stale. Sulphur. Grease.
The figure of Bella Cohen stands before him.
You'll know me the next time.
Bloom, composed, regards her.
Passé. Mutton dressed as lamb. Long in the tooth and superfluous hairs. A raw onion the last thing at night would benefit your complexion. And take some double chin drill. Your eyes are as vapid as the glass eyes of your stuffed fox. They have the dimensions of your other features, that's all. I'm not a triple screw propeller.
Bella, contemptuously.
You're not game, in fact.
A sow cunt barks.
Thrut!
Bloom, contemptuously.
Clean your nailless middle finger first. The cold spunk of your bully is dripping from your coxcomb. Take a handful of hay and wipe yourself.
I know you, canvasser. Dead cod.
I saw him, kip keeper, pox and gleet vendor.
Bella turns to the piano.
Which of you was playing the dead march from Saul?
Zoe.
Me. Mind your cornflowers.
She darts to the piano and bangs chords on it with crossed arms.
The cats rumble through the slag.
She glances back.
Hey, who's making love to my sweeties?
She darts back to the table.
What's yours is mine and what's mine is my own.
Kitty, disconcerted, coats her teeth with the silver paper. Bloom approaches Zoe. Bloom, gently.
Give me back that potato, will you?
Forfeits. A fine thing and a superfine thing.
Bloom, with feeling.
It is nothing, but still a relic of poor Mama.
Give a thing and take it back. God'll ask you, where is that? You'll say you don't know. God'll send you down below.
There is a memory attached to it. I should like to have it.
Stephen.
To have or not to have, that is the question.
Here.
She hauls up a reef of her slip, revealing her bare thigh, and unrolls the potato from the top of her stocking.
Those that hides knows where to find.
Bella frowns.
Here, this isn't a musical peep show. And don't you smash that piano. Who's paying here?
She goes to the pianola. Stephen fumbles in his pocket and, taking out a banknote by its corner, hands it to her. Stephen, with exaggerated politeness.
This silken purse I made out of the sow's ear of the public. Madam, excuse me. If you allow me...
He indicates vaguely Lynch and Bloom.
We are all in the same sweepstake, Kinch and Lynch. Dans ce bordel où tenons notre état.
Lynch calls from the hearth.
Daedalus, give her your blessing for me.
Stephen hands Bella a coin.
Gold. She has it.
Bella looks at the money, then at Zoe, Florrie, and Kitty.
Do you want 3 girls? It's 10 shillings here.
Stephen, delightedly.
100,000 apologies.
He fumbles again and takes out and hands her 2 crowns.
Permit, brevi manu, my sight is somewhat troubled.
Bella goes to the table to count the money while Stephen talks to himself in monosyllables. Zoe bounds over to the table. Kitty leans over Zoe's neck. Lynch gets up, rights his cap, and clasping Kitty's waist, adds his head to the group. Florrie strives heavily to rise.
Oh, my foot asleep.
She limps over to the table. Bloom approaches. Bella, Zoe, Kitty, Lynch, Bloom, chattering and squabbling.
The gentleman...
10 shillings.
Paying for the tree.
Allow me a moment.
This gentleman pays separate.
Who's touching
it? I'll mind you, you're pinching.
Are you staying the night or a short time?
Who did?
You're a liar, excuse me.
The gentleman paid down like a gentleman.
Drink. It's long after 11.
Stephen, at the pianola, making a gesture of abhorrence.
No bottles. What, 11? A riddle.
Zoe, lifting up her petty gown and folding a half-sovereign into the top of her stocking.
Hard earned on the flat of my back.
Lynch, lifting Kitty from the table.
Come.
Wait!
She clutches the 2 crowns.
And me?
Hoop-la!
He lifts her, carries her, and bumps her down on the sofa.
The fox crew, the cocks flew, the bells in heaven were striking 11. 'Tis time for her, poor soul, to get out of heaven.
Bloom quietly lays a half-sovereign on the table between Bella and Florrie.
So, allow me.
He takes up the pound note.
3 times 10. We're square.
Bella, admiringly.
You're such a sly boot, so cocky. I could kiss you.
Zoe points.
Some. Deep as a draw well.
Lynch bends Kitty back over the sofa and kisses her. Bloom goes with the pound note to Stephen.
This is yours.
How is that? Le distrait, your absent-minded beggar.
He fumbles again in his pocket and draws out a handful of coins. An object falls.
Oh, that fell.
Bloom, stooping, picks up and hands a box of matches.
This?
Lucifer. Thanks.
Bloom, quietly.
You had better hand over that cash to me to take care of. Why pay more?
Stephen hands him all his coins.
Be just before you are generous.
I will, but is it wise?
He counts.
1, 7, 11, and 5. 6, 11. I don't answer for what you may have lost.
Why striking 11? Proper oxyton. Moment before the next blessing says, thirsty fox?
He laughs loudly.
Burying his grandmother. Probably he killed her.
That is 1 pound 6 and 11. 1 pound 7, say.
Doesn't matter a rambling damn.
No, but...
Stephen comes to the table.
Cigarette, please.
Lynch tosses a cigarette from the sofa to the table.
And so Georgina Johnson is dead and married.
A cigarette appears on the table. Stephen looks at it.
Wonder. Parlor magic. Married.
He strikes a match and proceeds to light the cigarette with enigmatic melancholy. Lynch, watching him.
You would have a better chance of lighting it if you held the match nearer.
Stephen brings the match nearer his eye.
Link's eye. Must get glasses. Broke them yesterday. 16 years ago. Distance. The eye sees all flat.
He draws the match away. It goes out.
Brain thinks near, far. Ineluctable modality of the visible.
He frowns mysteriously.
Sphinx. The beast that has 2 backs at midnight. Married.
It was a commercial traveller married her and took her away with him.
Florrie nods.
Mr. Lamb from London.
Lamb of London, who taketh away the sins of our world.
Lynch, embracing Kitty on the sofa, chants deeply.
Dona nobis pacem.
The cigarette slips from Stephen's fingers. Bloom picks it up and throws it into the grate.
Don't smoke. You ought to eat. Cursed dog I met.
To Zoe.
You have nothing.
Is he hungry?
Stephen extends his hand to her, smiling, and chants to the air of the blood oath in the dusk of the gods.
Hangende Hunger, fragende Frau, macht uns alle kaputt.
Zoe, tragically.
Hamlet! I am thy father's gimlet.
She takes his hand.
Blue-eyed beauty, I'll read your hand.
She points to his forehead.
No wit, no wrinkles.
She counts.
2, 3, Mars. That's courage.
Stephen shakes his head.
No kid.
Lynch.
Sheet lightning courage. A youth who could not shiver and shake.
To Zoe.
Who taught you palmistry?
Zoe turns.
Ask my bollocks that I haven't got.
To Stephen.
I see it in your face. The eye. Like that.
She frowns with lowered head. Lynch, laughing, slaps Kitty behind twice.
Like that, pandybat.
Twice, loudly, a pandybat cracks. The coffin of the pianola flies open. The bald little round jack-in-the-box head of Father Dolan springs up.
Any boy want flogging? Broke his glasses? Lazy, idle little schemer? See it in your eye?
Mild, benign, rectorial, reproving, the head of Don John Conmee rises from the pianola coffin.
Now, Father Dolan, now. I'm sure that Stephen is a very good little boy.
Zoe, examining Stephen's palm.
Woman's hand.
Stephen murmurs.
Continue. Lie. Hold me. Caress. I never could read his handwriting except his criminal thumbprint on the haddock.
What day were you born?
Thursday. Today.
Thursday's child has far to go.
She traces lines on his hand.
Line of fate. Influential friends.
Florrie, pointing.
Imagination. Mount of the moon. You'll meet with a...
She peers at his hands abruptly.
I won't tell you what's not good for you. What do you want to know?
Bloom detaches her fingers and offers his palm.
More harm than good. Here, read mine.
Show.
She turns up Bloom's hand.
I thought so. Knobby knuckles for the women.
Zoe, peering at Bloom's palm.
Gridiron. Travels beyond the sea and marry money.
Wrong.
Zoe, quickly.
Oh, I see. Short little finger. Henpecked husband. That wrong?
Black Liz, a huge rooster, hatching in a chalked circle, rises, stretches her wings, and clucks.
Cluck, cluck, cluck.
She sidles from her new-laid egg and waddles off. Bloom points to his hand.
That wheel there is an accident. Fell and cut it 22 years ago. I was 16.
I see, says the blind man. Tell us news.
See? Moves to one great goal. I am 22, too. 16 years ago, I, 22, tumbled. 22 years ago, he, 16, fell off his hobby horse.
He winces.
Hurt my hand somewhere. Must see a dentist. Money?
Zoe whispers to Florrie. They giggle. Bloom releases his hand and writes idly on the table in backhand, penciling slow curves. Florrie.
What?
A hackney car, number 324, with a gallant buttocked mare, driven by James Barton, Harmony Avenue, Donnybrook, trots past. Blazes Boylan and Lenehan sprawl, swaying on the side seats. The Ormond Boots crouches behind on the axle. Sadly, over the cross-blind, Lydia Deuce and Mina Kennedy gaze. The Boots, jogging, mocks them with thumb and wriggling worm fingers.
Ha-ha! Have you the horn?
Bronze by gold, they whisper. Zoe to Florrie.
Whisper.
They whisper again. Over the well of the car, Blazes Boylan leans. His boot of straw set sideways, a red flower in his mouth. Lenehan, in a yachtsman's cap and white shoes, officiously detaches a long hair from Blazes Boylan's shoulder. Lenehan.
Oh, what do I here behold? Were you brushing the cobwebs off a few quims?
Boylan, seated, smiles.
Plucking a turkey.
A good night's work.
Boylan, holding up 4 thick, blunt, ungulated fingers, winks.
Blazes, kite. Up to sample of your money back.
He holds out a forefinger.
Smell that.
Lenehan smells gleefully.
Ah, lobster and mayonnaise. Oh.
Zoe and Florrie laugh together. Boylan jumps surely from the car and calls loudly for all to hear.
Hello, Bloom. Mrs. Bloom up yet?
Bloom, in a flunky's plum plush coat and knee breeches, buff stockings and powdered wig.
I'm afraid not, sir. The last articles...
Boylan tosses him sixpence.
Here, to buy yourself a gin and splash.
He hangs his hat smartly on a peg of Bloom's antlered head.
Show me in. I have a little private business with your wife. You understand?
Thank you, sir. Yes, sir. Madame Tweedy is in her bath, sir.
Marion.
He ought to feel himself highly honoured.
She plops, splashing out of the water.
Raoul, darling, come and dry me. I'm in my pelt. Only my new hat and a carriage sponge.
Boylan, a merry twinkle in his eye.
Tapping.
Bella.
What? What is this?
Zoe whispers to her.
Let him look, the pishogue. Pimp. And scourge himself. I'll write to a powerful prostitute, or Bartholomona the bearded woman, to raise wheels out on him an inch thick, and make him bring me back a signed and stamped receipt.
Bella, laughing.
Ho, 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 ho!
Boylan, to Bloom, over his shoulder.
You can apply your eye to the keyhole and play with yourself, while I just go through her a few times.
Thank you, sir. I will, sir. May I bring two men chums to witness the deed and take a snapshot?
He holds an ointment jar.
Vaseline, sir? Orange flower? Lukewarm water?
Kitty, from the sofa.
Tell us, Flurry. Tell us what?
Flurry whispers to her. Whispering love words murmur, lip-lapping loudly. Papismic plop-slop. Mina Kennedy, her eyes upturned.
Oh, it must be like the scent of geraniums and lovely peaches. Simply idolizes every bit of her, stuck together, covered with kisses.
Lydia Douce, her mouth opening.
Yum, yum. Oh, he's carrying her round the room doing it. Ride a cock horse. You could hear them in Paris and New York, like mouthfuls of strawberries in cream.
Kitty, laughing. Boylan's voice. Sweetly, hoarsely, in the pit of his stomach.
Ah, Gobler's croak, Brook Arch crashed.
Marion's voice, hoarsely, sweetly, rising to her throat.
Oh, wish, wash, kissimabuak.
Bloom, his eyes wildly dilated, clasps himself.
Show, hide, show, plower, more, shoot.
Bella, Zoe, Flory, Kitty. Lynch points.
The mirror up to nature.
He laughs. Stephen and Bloom gaze in the mirror. The face of William Shakespeare, beardless, appears there, rigid in facial paralysis, crowned by the reflection of the reindeer-antlered hat-rack in the hall. Shakespeare, in dignified ventriloquy.
"'Tis the loud laugh bespeaks the vacant mind."
To Bloom.
"'Thou thoughtest us how thou wastest invisible. Gaze!'
He crows with a black capon's laugh.
"'Iago go! How my old fellow choked his Thursday moment. Iago go go!'
Bloom smiles yellowly at the whores.
"'When will I hear the joke?'
Zoe.
"'Before you're twice married and once a widower?'
"'Lapses are condoned. Even the great Napoleon, when measurements were taken near the skin after his death.'
Mrs. Dignam. Widow woman, her snub nose and cheeks flushed with death talk, tears, and Tunny's tawny sherry, hurries by in her weeds, her bonnet awry, rouging and powdering her cheeks, lips, and nose, a pen chivying her brood of signets. Beneath her skirt appear her late husband's everyday trousers and turned-up boots, large eights. She holds a Scottish widow's insurance policy, and large marquee umbrella, under which her brood runs with her. Patsy, hopping on one short foot, his collar loose, a hank of pork steaks dangling, Freddy, whimpering, Susie, with a crying cod's mouth, Alice, struggling with the baby. She cuffs them on, her streamers flaunting aloft. Freddy.
Ah, Ma, you're dragging me along.
Susie.
Mama, the big tea is fizzing over.
Shakespeare, with paralytic rage.
Where a sucker? Who kill her fast?
The face of Martin Cunningham, bearded, refeatures Shakespeare's beardless face. The marquee umbrella sways drunkenly. The children run aside. Under the umbrella appears Mrs. Cunningham in merry widow hat and kimono gown. She glides, sidling and bowing, twisting Japanesely. Mrs. Cunningham sings.
And they call me the jewel of Asia.
Martin Cunningham gazes on her, impassive.
Immense. Most bloody awful demi-rep.
Stephen.
Et exalta buntur corniua justi. Queens lay with prize bulls. Remember Pasiphae, for whose lust my grand old grossfather made the first confession box. Forget not Madame Griselle Stevens, nor the suine scions of the House of Lambert. And Noah was drunk with wine, and his ark was open.
Bella.
None of that here. Come to the wrong shop.
Lynch.
Let him alone. He's back from Paris.
Zoe runs to Stephen and links him.
Oh, go on. Give us some parley-voo.
Stephen claps hat on head and leaps over to the fireplace, where he stands with shrugged shoulders, finny hands outspread, a painted smile on his face. Lynch pommeling on the sofa.
Rum, 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 rum.
Stephen gabbles with marionette jerks.
1,000 places of entertainment. 2 expenses your evenings with lovely ladies. Sailing, gloves and other things. Perhaps her heart. Beer chops. Perfect fashionable house. Very eccentric. Were lots cocottes, beautiful dressed. Much about princesses like our dancing can-can and walking there. Parisian clownery's extra foolish for bachelors. Foreign's the same if talking a poor English. How much smart they are on things, love and sensations voluptuous. Misters, very selects for his pleasure must to visit heaven and hell show, with mortuary candles and their tears silver which occur every night. Perfectly shocking, terrific, of religion's things, mockery seen in universal world. All chic womans, which arrive full of modesty, then disrobe and squeal loud to see vampire man, debauch nun, very fresh young with dessous troublant.
He clacks his tongue loudly.
Oh la la, ce pif killer!
Lynch.
Vive le vampire!
The whores.
Bravo, bravo!
Stephen, grimacing with head back, laughs loudly, clapping himself.
Great success of laughing! Angels much prostitutes like, and holy apostles big damn ruffians. Demi mondaine, nicely handsome, sparkling of diamonds, very amiable costumed. Or do you are fond better what belongs the modern pleasure turpitude of old man's?
He points about him with grotesque gestures, which Lynch and the whores reply to.
Cow chuck statue woman reversible, or life-size toppy-toms, virgins, nudities, very lesbic, the kiss 5-10 times. Enter, gentlemen, to see in mirrors every position's trapezus, all that machine there. Besides, also, if desire act awfully bestial, butcher's boy pollutes in warm veal liver omelette on the belly pièce de Shakespeare.
Bella, clapping her belly, sinks back on the sofa with a shout of laughter.
Anomalous on the... Anomalous on the...
Stephen, mincingly...
I love you, sir, darling. Speak you Englishman tongue for double entente cordiale. Oh, yes, mon loup. How much cost? Waterloo, water closet?
He ceases suddenly and holds up a forefinger. Bella, laughing.
Omelette!
The whores, laughing.
Encore! Encore!
Mark me. I dreamt of a watermelon.
Zoe.
Go abroad and love a foreign lady.
Lynch.
Across the world for a wife.
Florrie.
Dreams go by contraries.
Stephen, extending his arms.
It was here. Street of Harlots. In Serpentine Avenue, Beelzebub showed me her, a fubsy widow. Where's the red carpet spread?
Bloom, approaching Stephen.
Look.
No, I flew. My foes beneath me, and ever shall be world without end.
He cries.
Potter, free.
I say, look.
Break my spirit, will he? Oh, merde alors!
He cries, his vulture talons sharpened.
Hola! Hilly-ho!
Simon Dedalus' voice hillows in answer, somewhat sleepy but ready.
That's all right!
He swoops uncertainly through the air, wheeling, uttering cries of heartening.
Hi-ha!
On strong, ponderous buzzard wings.
Oh, boy! Are you going to win? Whoop! Pshat! Stable with those half-castes! Wouldn't let them within the ball of an ass. Head up! Keep our flag flying! An eagle ghouls volant in a field argent is flayed. Ulster king in arms! Hi, whoop!
He makes the beagle's call, giving tongue.
Bull, 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 bull. Hi, boy!
The fronds and spaces of the wallpaper file rapidly across country. A stout fox, drawn from covert, brush-pointed, having buried his grandmother, runs swift for the open, bright-eyed, seeking badger earth under the leaves. The pack of staghounds follows, nose to the ground, sniffing their quarry, beagle baying, burble bribbling to be blooded. Ward Union huntsmen and huntswomen live with them, hot for a kill. From 6 Mile Point, Flat House, 9 Mile Stone, follow the foot people with knotty sticks, salmon gaffs, lassoos. Flock masters with stock whips, bear baiters with tom-toms, toreadors with bull swords, grey negroes waving torches. The crowd bawls of dicers, crown and anchor players, thimble riggers, broadsmen. Crows and touts, horse bookies in high wizard hats clamour deafeningly. The crowd.
Ah,
out of the races. Racing time.
Pedro on the field.
Tommy on the clay here. Tommy on the clay.
Ten to one, Bowen. Ten to one, Bowen.
Try a look up the ring, Jenny.
10-1, Bowen.
Sell the monkey, boy. Sell the monkey.
I'll give 10-1.
10-1, Bowen.
A dark horse, riderless, bolts like a phantom past the winning post. His mane moon foaming, his eyeballs stars. The field follows, a bunch of bucking mounts, skeleton horses. Scepter, Maximum the Second, Zinfandel, the Duke of Westminster's Shotover, Repulse, the Duke of Beaufort's Salon, Prix de Paris. Dwarfs ride them, rusty armored, leaping, leaping in their saddles. Last, in a drizzle of rain, on a broken-winded Isabel Nag, Cock of the North, the favorite, Honey Cap, Green Jacket, Orange Sleeves, Garrett DC up, gripping the reins, a hockey stick at the ready. His nag, stumbling on white-gaitered feet, jogs along the rocky road. The orange lodgers, jeering.
Get down and push, master!
Last lap!
You'll be home the night.
Garrett DC, bolt upright, his nail-scraped face plastered with postage stamps, brandishes his hockey stick, his blue eyes flashing in the prism of the chandelier as his mount lopes by at a schooling gallop.
Perveus rectus!
A yoke of buckets leopards all over him, and his rearing nag. A torrent of mutton broth with dancing coins of carrots, barley, onions, turnips, potatoes. The green lodges.
Safty, Sir John.
Safty, Your Honor.
Private Carr, Private Compton, and Sissy Caffrey pass beneath the windows, singing in discord. Stephen.
Hark! Our friend, noise in the street.
Zoe holds up her hand.
Stop!
Private Carr, Private Compton, and Sissy Caffrey. She claps her hands.
Dance! Dance!
She runs to the pianola.
Who is Tuppence?
Who'll?
Lynch, handing her coins.
Here.
Stephen, cracking his fingers impatiently.
Quick, quick! Where's my auger's rod?
He runs to the piano and takes his ash plant, beating his foot in tripudium. Zoe turns the drum handle.
There.
She drops two pennies in the slot. Gold, pink, and violet lights start forth. The drum turns, purring in low hesitation waltz. Professor Goodwin, in a bow-knotted periwig, in court dress, wearing a stained Inverness cape, bent in two from incredible age, totters across the room, his hands fluttering. He sits tinily on the piano stool and lifts and beats handless sticks of arms on the keyboard, nodding with damsel's grace, his bow-knot bobbing. Zoe twirls around herself, heel-tapping.
Anybody here for there? Oh, who'll dance?
The pianola, with changing lights, plays in waltz time the prelude to My Girl's a Yorkshire Girl. Stephen throws his ash plant on the table and seizes Zoe around the waist. Florrie and Bella push the table towards the fireplace. Stephen, arming Zoe with exaggerated grace, begins to waltz her around the room. Her sleeve, falling from gracing arms, reveals a white flesh flower of vaccination. Bloom stands aside. Between the curtains, Professor McGinney inserts a leg, on the toe point of which spins a silk hat. With a deft kick, he sends it spinning to his crown, and jaunty-hatted, skates in. He wears a slate frock coat with claret silk lapels, a gorget of cream tulle, a green low-cut waistcoat, stock collar with white kerchief, tight lavender trousers, patent pumps and canary gloves. In his buttonhole is a dahlia. He twirls in reverse directions a clouded cane, then wedges it tight in his oxter. He places a hand limply on his breastbone, bows, and fondles his flower and buttons. McGinney.
The poetry of motion, art of calisthenics. No connection with Madame Leggett Burns or Livingstone's. Fancy dress balls arranged, deportment, the catty ladder steps. So, watch me, my clips of Korean nobilities.
He minuets forward 3 paces on tripping bee's feet.
Tout le monde, en avant. Révérence, tout le monde en place.
The prelude ceases. Professor Goodwin, beating vague arms, shrivels, shrinks, his live cape falling about the stool. The air, infirmer waltz time, pounds. Stephen and Zoe circle freely. The lights change, glow, fade. Gold, rose, violet. The pianola.
Two young fellows were talking about them girls, girls, girls. Sweethearts, they
From a corner, the morning hours ran out. Gold-haired, slim, in girlish blue, wasp-waisted, with innocent hands. Nimbly they dance, twirling their skipping ropes. The hours of noon follow in amber gold, laughing, linked. High hair combs flashing, they catch the sun in mocking mirrors, lifting their arms. McGinney, clip-claps, glove-silent hands.
Carré! À vous deux! Breathe evenly. Bowels!
The morning and noon hours waltz in their places, turning, advancing to each other, shaping their curves, bowing vis-à-vis. Cavaliers behind them arch and suspend their arms, with hands descending to, touching, rising from their shoulders. Hours.
May I touch mine?
Cavaliers.
May I touch your...
Hours. Cavaliers.
Oh, so lightly.
The pianola.
My little shy little lass has a waist.
Zoe and Stephen turn boldly with looser swing. The twilight hours advance from long land shadows. Dispersed, lagging, languid-eyed, their cheeks delicate with cypria and false faint bloom. They are in grey gauze with dark bat sleeves that flutter in the land breeze. McGinney.
Avant! Oui! Traversez! Salut! Cours demain! Croisez!
The night hours steal to the last place. Morning, noon, and twilight hours retreat before them. They are masked with daggered hair and bracelets of dull bells. Weary, they curchy-curchy under veils. The bracelets... Zoe, twisting her hand to her brow.
Oh.
McGinney.
Le tiroir! Chindidum! La corbeille! Do ado!
Arabesquing wearily, they weave a pattern on the floor, weaving, unweaving, curtsying, twisting, simply swirling.
I'm good, eh?
She frees herself, droops on a chair. Stephen seizes Florrie and turns with her. McGinney.
Boulangère! Les ronds! Les ponts! Chevaux de bois! Escargot!
Twining, receding, with interchanging hands, the night hours link, each with arching arms in a mosaic of movements. Stephen and Florrie turn cumbrously. McGinney.
Dansez avec vos dames! Changez de dames! Donnez le petit bouquet à votre dame! Un merci!
The pianola.
Est! Est!
Kitty jumps up.
They played that on the hobby horses at Tamara's Bazaar.
She runs to Stephen. He leaves Florrie brusquely and seizes Kitty. A screaming bittern's harsh eye whistle shrieks. Grown grouse gurgling, Toth's cumbersome whirligig turns. Slowly the room, right round about the room, the pianola.
Yorkshire through and through. Come on, all.
She seizes Florrie and waltzes her. Stephen.
Parcel!
He wheels Kitty into Lynch's arms, snatches up his ash plant from the table, and takes the floor. All wheel, whirl, waltz, twirl. Bloom Bella, Kitty Lynch, Florrie Zoe, Jujubee women. Stephen with hat, ash plant, frog splits in middle, high kicks with sky kicking, mouth shut, hand clasp part under thigh, with clang, tinkle, boom hammer, tally-ho, horn blower, blue, green, yellow flashes. Toft's cumbersome turns with hobby horse riders, from gilded snakes dangled, bowels fandango leaping, spurn soil, foot and fall again. The pianola.
No, she's a fancy lass, and wears no fancy clothes.
Close clutched, swift, swifter, with glare, glare, flare, scudding, they scot, loot, shoot, lumbering by. Bada bum, tutti.
Encore! Peace! Bravo! Encore!
Simon.
Think of your mother's people.
Dance of death!
Bang, fresh barang bang of lackey's bell. Horse, nag, steer, piglings, con me on Christ ass, lame crutch and leg sailor in cockboat, arm folded, rope pulling, hitching, stamp. Hornpipe through and through, bara-boom! On nags, hogs, bell horses, gathering swine, corny in coffin, steel shark, stone, one-handled Nelson. Two trickies, flower and simmer. Plumstain from Pram, falling, bawling. Gum, he's a champion. Fuse Blue Pier from Barrel, Rev Evensong. Love on Hackney Jaunt, Blazes Blind, Cod-doubled Bicyclers, Dilly with Snowcake, no fancy clothes. Then, in last, Whispitch back, lumbering up and down. Bump, mash tub sort of Viceroy in rain, relish for tub lumber, bumpshire rose, bada-boom! The couples fall aside. Stephen whirls giddily. Room whirls back. Eyes closed, he totters. Red rails fly spacewards. Stars all around. Suns turn roundabout. Bright midges dance on wall. He stops dead. Stephen.
Oh!
Stephen's mother, emaciated, rises stark through the floor in leper gray, with a wreath of faded orange blossoms and a torn bridal veil, her face worn and noseless, green with grave mold. Her hair is scant and lank. She fixes her blue-circled, hollow eye sockets on Stephen and opens her toothless mouth, uttering a silent word. A choir of virgins and confessors sing voicelessly.
Iliata rutilantium te confessorum.
From the top of a tower, Buck Mulligan, in parti-coloured jester's dress of puce and yellow, and clown's cap with curling bell, stands gaping at her, a smoking, buttered split scone in his hand. Buck Mulligan.
She's beastly dead. The pity of it. Mulligan meets the afflicted mother.
He upturns his eyes.
Mercurial Malachy.
The mother, with the subtle smile of death's madness.
I was once beautiful May Goulding. I am dead.
Stephen, horror-struck.
Lima, who are you? What bogeyman's trick is this?
Buck Mulligan shakes his curling cap bell.
The mockery of it. Kinch killed her dog's body, bitch body. She kicked the bucket.
Tears of molten butter fall from his eyes into the scum.
Our great sweet mother, Epi Oinopa Ponton.
The mother comes nearer, breathing upon him softly, her breath of wetted ashes.
All must go through it, Stephen. More women than men in the world. You too. Time will come.
Stephen, choking with fright, remorse, and horror.
They said I killed your mother. He offended your memory. Cancer, did it not I? Destiny.
The mother, a green rill of bile trickling from the side of her mouth.
You sang that song to me. Love's bitter mystery.
Stephen, eagerly.
Tell me the word, mother, if you know now. The word known to all men.
Who saved you the night you jumped into the train at Dorking with Paddy? Who had pity for you when you were sad among the strangers? Prayer is all-powerful. Prayer for the suffering souls in the Ursuline Manual and 40 days' indulgence. Repent, Stephen.
The ghoul! Hyena!
I pray for you in my other world. Get Dilly to make you that boiled rice every night after your brain work. Years and years I loved you, oh, my son, my firstborn, when you lay in my womb.
Zoe, fanning herself with the great fan.
I'm melting.
Florrie points to Stephen.
Look, he's white.
Bloom goes to the window to open it more.
Giddy.
The mother with smouldering eyes.
Repent, oh.
Stephen, panting.
The corpse chewer. Raw head and bloody bones.
The mother, her face drawing nearer and nearer, sending out an ashen breath.
Beware!
She raises her blackened, withered right arm slowly towards Stephen's breast with outstretched fingers.
Beware! God's hand!
A green crab with malignant red eyes sticks deep its grinning claws in Stephen's heart. Stephen, strangled with rage.
Shite!
His features grow drawn and grey and old. Bloom, at the window.
What? Un homme, par exemple. The intellectual imagination. With me, all or not at all. Non serviam!
Florrie.
Give him some cold water. Wait.
She rushes out. The mother wrings her hands slowly, moaning desperately.
Oh, Sacred Heart of Jesus, have mercy on him. Save him from hell, O divine Sacred Heart.
No, no, no.
Break my spirit, all of you, if you can. I'll bring you all to heel.
The mother, in the agony of her death rattle.
Have mercy on Stephen, Lord, for my sake. Inexpressible was my anguish when expiring with love, grief, and agony on Mount Calvary.
No tongue!
He lifts his ash plant high with both hands and smashes the chandelier. Time's livid final flame leaps, and in the following darkness, ruin of all space, shattered glass and toppling masonry, the gas jet.
Stop!
Lynch rushes forward and seizes Stephen's hand.
Here, hold on! Don't run amok!
Bella.
Police!
Stephen, abandoning his ash plant, his head and arms thrown back stark, beats the ground and flees from the room, past the halls at the door. Bella screams. The two whores rush to the hall doors. Lynch and Kitty and Zoe stampede from the room. They talk excitedly. Bloom follows, returns. The whores jammed in the doorway, pointing.
Down there!
Zoe pointing.
There! There's something up!
Bella.
Who pays for the lamp?
She seizes Bloom's coattail.
There. You were with them. The lamp's broken.
Bloom rushes to the hall, rushes back.
What lamp, woman?
A whore.
He tore his coat.
Bella, her eyes hard with anger and cupidity, points.
Who's to pay for that? 10 shillings. You're a witness.
Bloom snatches up Stephen's ash plant.
Me? 10 shillings? Haven't you lifted enough of him? Didn't he?
Bella, loudly.
Here, none of your tall talk. This isn't a brothel, a 10-shilling house.
Bloom, his hand under the lamp, pulls the chain. Paling, the gas jet lights up. A crushed mauve-purple shade. He raises the ash plant.
Only the chimney's broken. Here is all he...
Bella shrinks back and screams.
Jesus, don't!
Bloom warding off a blow.
To show you how he hit the paper. There's not a sixpence worth of damage done. 10 shillings.
Florrie, with a glass of water, enters.
Where is he?
Bella.
Do you want me to call the police?
Oh, I know. Bulldog on the premises. But he's a Trinity student. Patrons of your establishment. Gentlemen that pay the rent.
He makes a Masonic sign.
Know what I mean? Nephew of the Vice Chancellor. You don't want a scandal.
Bella, angrily.
Trinity. Coming down here, ragging after the boat races and paying nothing. Are you my commander here? Where is he? I'll charge him. Disgrace him, I will.
She shouts.
Zoe! Zoe!
Bloom, urgently.
And if it were your own son in Oxford?
Warningly.
I know.
Bella, almost speechless.
Who are you? Incog?
Zoe, in the doorway.
There's a row on!
What? Where?
He throws a shilling on the table and shouts.
That's for the chimney. Where? I need mountain air.
He hurries out through the hall. The whores point. Florrie follows, spilling water from her tilted tumbler. On the doorstep, all the whores clustered talk volubly, pointing to the right where the fog has cleared off. From the left arrives a jingling hackney car. It slows to in front of the house. Bloom, at the hall door, perceives Corny Kelleher, who is about to dismount from the car with 2 silent lechers. He averts his face. Bella, from within the hall, urges on her whores. They blow icky, licky, sticky, yum-yum kisses. Corny Kelleher replies with a ghostly, lewd smile. The silent lechers turn to pay the jarvey. Zoe and Kitty still point right. Bloom, parting them swiftly, draws his caliph's hood and poncho and hurries down the steps with sideways face. Incog Harun al-Rashid, he flits behind the silent lechers and hastens on by the railings with fleet step of a pard strewing the drag behind him, torn envelopes drenched in aniseed. The ash plant marks his stride. A pack of bloodhounds, led by Hornblower of Trinity, brandishing a dog whip, in tally-ho cap and an old pair of grey trousers, follows from far, picking up the scent. Nearer, baying, panting, at fault, breaking away, throwing their tongues, biting his heels, leaping at his tail. He walks, runs, zigzags, gallops, lugs laid back. He is pelted with gravel, cabbage stumps, biscuit boxes, eggs, potatoes, dead codfish, woman's slipper slappers. After him, fresh found, the hue and cry, zigzag gallops in hot pursuit of follow my leader. 65C, 66C, night watch. John Henry Menton, Wisdom Healy, V.B. Dillon, Counselor Nanetti, Alexander Keyes, Larry O'Rourke, Joe Cuff, Mrs. O'Dowd, Pisser Burke, the nameless one, Mrs. Reardon, the citizen, Gary Owen, what do you call him? Strange face, fellow that's like, saw him before, chap with, Chris Callanan, Sir Charles Cameron, Benjamin Dollard, Lenehan, Bartle Darcy, Joe Hines, Red Murray, Editor Braden, T.M. Healy, Mr. Justice Fitzgibbon, John Howard Parnell, the Reverend Tin Salmon, Professor Jolie, Mrs. Breen, Dennis Breen, Theodore Purifoy, Mina Purifoy, the Western Row postmistress, C.P. McCoy, friend of Lyons, Hoppy Holohan, man in the street, other man in the street, football boots, pug-nosed driver, rich Protestant lady, Davy Byrne, Mrs. Ellen McGuinness, Mrs. Joe Gallagher, George Lidwell, Jemmy Henry on corns, Superintendent Larracy, Father Cowley, Crofton out of the Collector Generals, Dan Dawson, Dental Surgeon Bloom with tweezers, Mrs. Bob Doran, Mrs. Kennefic, Mrs. Wise Nolan, John Wise Nolan, handsome married woman rubbed against wide behind in Tlonsky tram, the bookseller of Sweets of Sin, Miss Dubedat, and she did bedad, Madame Gerald and Stanislaus Moran of Roebuck, the managing clerk of Drimmies, Colonel Hayes, Mastiansky, Citron, Penrose, Aaron Figgertner, Moses Herzog, Michael E. Geraghty, Inspector Troy, Mrs. Galbraith, the constable off Eccles Street Corner, old Dr. Brady with stethoscope, the mystery man on the beach, a retriever, Mrs. Miriam Dandrade, and all her lovers. The hue and cry, helter-skelter, pelter-welter.